The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody, and welcome, my brother, mean advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis McElroy.
I'm your sweet baby brother and 30 under 30 media luminary, Griffin McElroy.
Are you ready for more football?
I'm ready for twice the amount of football I currently consume, which would
an
still...
An undetermined night of the week party.
Woo, it's some night and the balls are hot. Don't touch the balls because you'll burn your hands.
We have a bunch, some announcers to be determined. They're going to get it kickstarted.
Or maybe, like, handoff started. We don't know. We haven't finished out the rules yet.
There may not even be a ball this time. It's football of the mind, XFL.
You probably guess we're starting an XFL team.
And yeah. Everybody's been asking us to do this, even before Vince came out and made his definitely real announcement about the thing that's definitely going to happen, which is the XFL. Very exciting new football proposition where a catch is a catch and you can't ever protest for any reason ever. And Vince, I definitely get it. I don't get it.
As somebody who got in early with the XFL, with our next XFL, the XXFL, we have gotten like, first off, the first thing we had to figure out was, of course, the team. What are they?
Yeah.
I'm pushing for the Milton somethings.
Oh, now, see, I thought you literally meant like, what species are we going to put on the field? You mean
because
like
XFL? It's Trav brings up a good point. Could be anything out there. Bunch of frogs.
They're all pumas.
Yeah,
bunch They're of pumas. The name of the team is the Jaguars, and people are not gonna. They're gonna. There's gonna be a lot of dissonance there.
And as long as this thing's just a big old stinking middle finger to the NFL, we may as well just make it the Jacksonville Jaguars. Fucking come at us, because it's a different thing, Bortles.
Because that's the thing about the XFL, it's literally no rules, no rights.
Well, and there's one, Travis, I do have to stop you right there, because there's one very important rule.
What's
and
that?
And that is, you can never express your dissatisfaction with anything for any reason ever, or else Vince will come to his house, to your house even. You'll come to Vince's house, because that's how he does it, and he'll unhinge his jaw and he'll eat you.
The rule is, and then we have a list of some, where did I put my list of rules? It's in the stack. Oh, here it is. So the first rule of the XFL, obviously, is if you kneel during the anthem, you have to eat an entire airplane tire. And that is stringent, I will agree.
Draconian, I might argue.
Draconian. The penalty actually goes up. So the second time you kneel during the anthem, you're going to have to consume an entire landing gear. And if you're particularly frustrated and you feel compelled to kneel, by the end of the season, I mean, you could be eating an entire airplane.
Well, this is why I've actually heard some owners and players already planning that how they're going to work around this is they're going to kneel once, eat the tire, but never get up.
Yeah. And then you just do all the football from a sort of prone
kneeling position.
Yeah.
And listen, it's tough, but if you get like knee pads with wheels on them, call them kneelies.
And then, we can definitely market that to the 8 people who are going to watch this. Hey, Vince, you dumb asshole.
Uh-huh.
Do you realize the fucking delicious Footloose-esque situation you are setting?
Now, no, this is a sports with no protesting. You hear me?
The first fucking guy that gets down on the knee is going to be so much more powerful, you big dumb asshole.
It's what going are you to be like fucking Babe Ruth calling his shot, but it, you, Babe Ruth just held up the middle finger to everybody.
I've got this idea for a new football league that will generate the most powerful political statement ever created by sport. What the fuck? Are you out of your fucking mind, Vince?
You can't ever, like, I'll never experience the thrilling level of dancing in an area where dancing has been forbidden. Because that would just be the best, funnest dance that you could do, I think. And that is the situation that is he has developed here, where it's like, protest? Well, no, not here. Like, that's the best protest you can do, is when they tell you you can't.
That's actually how protesting works.
That's how it works, dog. Jesus, Vince.
Vince. It's just disgusting, man. It's bad.
It's bad in every way. So I guess
the towns that had one before, right?
Yeah.
You're not going to fool them once, et cetera, et cetera. You're not. So it's going to be all second stringer towns, right? Or third string towns. Because I guess the first string has NFL and the second string had the XFL the first time. So now you're down to like third tier towns. And that's not to besmirch the good name of Milton. But if this thing tanks, I didn't want Huntington all tied up with it. We did have our own arena football team, the Huntington...
The River City Locomotives.
Thank you, Griffin.
Great team. Lots of fumbles. Number the stars, and it's about that May fumble.
I was actually in an ad for the River City Locomotives when they were looking for a new mascot, and my thing was, I just strode around the stage going, choo-choo, choo-choo. And if I remember how the ad went, I got the job.
Yeah.
So if you can get that on YouTube somewhere, just please let me know.
And if I remember correctly, I think our dad owned 1% of the River City
Locomotives. Well, he was the MC of the River City Locomotives, which meant we got free soda. Which if we do get the XFL team, the Milton Big Lads, going, then I'm hoping that is a benefit that will continue. Because then I will be a full-throated support of this new, exciting,
full-throated support. Like, that's the problem. It's like...
So, we're probably not going to do that team. I don't think we should probably support that.
I mean, I could try out. I mean, they're going to need 8 teams of 40 people each. That's what? Like 800 people. And I think I stand a pretty good shot. Never could make the Kamak Middle School basketball team, but I actually think I stand a better chance of getting in on this new football league. And then my friend Stone Cold Steve Austin's gonna come in and be like, you can't escape me, Vincent, crush a high life, and then crush Vincent's skull right there in front of God and everyone. And then we'll be the new kings of football. And you'll kneel, but to us, me and my friend Austin, which is what I call him, even though it's his last name.
So anyway,
so what do you guys think about the new Fall Out Boy album? I think it's really good.
Yeah, okay, let's do a question.
Every year, a local theater has a 24-hour Groundhog Day marathon. If you stay through the entire 24 hours, 12 screenings, you win movie passes for a year. I'm planning on going this year, and by God, I'm getting those movie passes. How do you suggest I pass the time other than bringing my 3DS with Pokemon Ultra Moon and headphones to listen to my Bim Bam? I'm going with one friend, so we're also thinking about bringing card/board games, and any suggestions are welcome. That's from Bed Sores with Bill Murray. I got a pretty good thing you could do.
Yeah, I have a super good suggestion.
You could watch one of the best movies ever made.
Yeah, you could just kind of tune into the giant screen in front of you and watch the best movie ever. This is what you might do.
Because here's what you get. You get an amazing one to see. I would love to see Groundhog Day in theaters. But also, like, maybe by that 24th hour, that 12th viewing, you have realized whole new, like, theories and nuances about this film.
Yeah.
It's a wild film. Yeah. If you read some of the stuff that was cut from Groundhog Day,
it is the most wild.
Wild. It supposedly encapsulates, I think I read, 10,000 years.
So there's not a canonical length of
time. But as originally written, it was like 10,000 years.
And it was also originally like a curse that a scorned ex placed on Bill Murray's. You can find out all about this on Chuck's podcast, Movie Crush, I was on, where I talked about this, my favorite movie of all time, which is, this is the terrible, I would not do this for anything, because this really is my favorite movie ever. And I do worry that watching it 12 times in one day would make it, not my favorite movie ever. And I do not want that to be stripped away.
Can I pitch to you? I had an idea the other day about, like, if I were going to make a Groundhog Day-esque movie. Something that I cannot think of because, you know, the whole, like, live the same day over again is not solely contained to Groundhog Day,
let me just say this real quick. Let me preface this by saying we are on a really good streak right now of you not pitching movies that is not going to get made on a podcast. It's been like 90 episodes or so.
Uh-huh. Someone should make this movie. I don't know if I'm going to make it, but somebody should make this movie because I don't think it's ever been done before. A Groundhog Day, same day over again kind of thing, but everyone is aware of it. Like everyone also, it's not just one person. Everybody wakes up going, again? Because I think it would get really apocalyptic really fast. Very like Caligulan.
No, yeah, it would turn into a big old bone pile. How about this idea for a movie? It's a Groundhog Day, but a man lives every second over again. And so he's just like, fuck, shit, no, crap, fuck, no, shit, it's happening. Again, Andy McDowell, I love you, and I realize that this whole time I've been so selfish. I don't know why he became a robot there close to the end, but that was a good 2 minutes of the podcast that we don't have to worry about.
That's gone now. And 2 minutes of your life listening at home, so sorry about that. One thing that would be fun is this, you know how like Bill Murray lives the same day over and over again in that movie and he starts to like learn things so he seems like he can predict the future because he does them before they happen. You could see if you watch it enough, you might be able to start beating Bill to some of them. So it makes him look like the clown.
Because you said the lady was
going to drop the dishes before the lady dropped the dishes, but also before Bill Murray said the lady was going to drop the dishes.
What if in Groundhog Day, Chris Elliott is also reliving the same day over and again because, like, he can't say that to Bill Murray, right? Bill Murray, because, like, he doesn't know that Bill Murray's living the same day over again. What if everyone is independently in Groundhog Day living the same day over again?
Chris Elliott is living the same day over again, but he's just rolling with it.
Yeah,
he's loving it.
This day was as fine as any of my other days. This is as good a day as any to just sort of kick it in.
Yeah.
I think that I'll go ahead and just live in this day for a while. That's fine. You know, one thing you could do is if you watch it enough, I bet you could figure out which scenes are Bill Murray's butt double and which scenes are just actually Bill Murray. Because it's hard with the lighting in some of the scenes, some of the extended sex scenes, to figure out which one is Bill Murray and which one is his butt double. Lorenzo music.
Oh, I thought, you said that, but I had a different joke. So I was wondering if I could do mine.
It is Groundhog Day, Griffin. Live the joke over again.
Okay, we do the joke over again. It's confusing. It's actually a lot of times Brian Doyle Murray, because they said, like, we need a brother's butt. Like, you know how in my butt scenes in the Bim Bam show, sometimes we just swap out one a year. Well, Justin's butt. Travis has the enormous tattoo.
Well, that's why we just rotate butts. Griffin does it for Justin. Justin does it for me, and I do it for Griffin. No, sorry. Now, Justin does it for Griffin. It's hard to keep him in mind, you know?
And in the scenes where Brian Doyle Murray's butt is, because he plays the mayor, if memory serves, Bill would step in and be like, don't worry. Take a load off, Brian.
I like Griffin's joke because it doesn't require an in-depth knowledge of voice actors that have played roles originated by Bill Murray. So I love that part of it.
That was like, so deep I didn't even get it.
So it's kind of funny because Lorenzo Music played Peter Venkman in the Ghostbusters cartoon. And then Lorenzo Music did the voice of Garfield then Bill Murray in the TV show. But then after that, Bill Murray did the voice of Garfield in the movie.
And then Murray was free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he could leave that back cave and forth. He'd been trapped in by Lorenzo Music.
Trav, do you want to do one?
Yeah, do you want to try a joke?
About Bill Murray's butt?
Yeah, about his hiney.
It gets confusing because sometimes it's Bill Murray, but sometimes it's Garfield.
Yeah, so sure. If you see a big furry orange butt.
Now that one kind of built off of what I did.
Well, a little bit. But if I had done mine first, it would have seemed like yours built off of mine. So who's to say?
That's a very good point. But I think yours would have seemed like the ravings of a madman.
Yeah. Is there a way to combine all three of our jokes into something that is even remotely, like, even a little bit funny?
Lorenzo Garfield?
Yeah. So maybe if we just say all the names at the same time.
Okay.
And it's sort of a choose your own adventure.
It is, isn't it fun that in Brian Doyle Murray's name, Doyle just really stands out in that? Because if he was just Brian Murray, it's like, oh, that could be anyone. But Brian Doyle Murray, now we've got...
He probably did it intentionally to like, make the differentiation clear, right? I have to assume. Give me another question.
This one was sent in by Aaron Keyes. Thank you, Aaron. It's Yahoo Answers user. Chaz Van Bloom. Nope. Chaz Van Blom. Even better. Asks... How deep inside an apple is the most nutrition? Enjoying a freshly cut Washington State apple, and they put the R marked on it for a trademark.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Washington
State brand apples from Oregon.
Different nutritional value is the you've offered me a choice here, so I'm going to go with if different is the nutritional value is the peel depth to the center where the seeds sit. Does the flesh of the apple go into varying ranges with changing nutritional levels getting higher toward the seeds? Remembering earth science / AG classes, do vegetables, onions, beets, etc. have this same nutritional range that varies as by how deep the veggie is cut? You're eating an apple. Certainly you've cut it up because worms, and you're eating the apple. Where's that pocket of those dank nutrients at? Because a lot of people look at the apple and say, I get that. That's the skin. That's the flesh. It's really fucked up. That's what we call those two things. And then there's the core with the seeds, which people eat only as YouTube like challenges. But is there other sort of zones in the apple that are best for you? The
like,
pearl.
Like striation, like, you know, the strata of apple that as you move down through,
you bind into the apple.
The crust, the core.
You bind into the apple and you hit the vitamin pocket, and then it expels a gaseous cloud of vitamins that you breathe in and you're stronger.
We'll get the obvious out of the way first. It ain't the seeds, because those contain a chemical that's transformed into cyanide in your stomach.
Though admittedly, not enough to do you any damage. You would have to eat something like a million apples.
Between 150 and a few thousand would do it.
A lot of apples.
Am I supposed to eat all these apples? Am I Crash Bandicoot?
Do you know what other...
I thought those were mangoes.
They were Wumpa Fruit. It's fine, though. Not everybody knows as much about Crash Bandicoot as I do.
So don't eat the seeds, because cyanide. Not good.
There's probably some good stuff in there, too. It's not just there. If you pour a bunch of cyanide in the ground, an apple tree doesn't climb out of it.
But I need to clarify for everybody, the vitamins aren't in the seeds, okay? Like,
Here's where I'm coming from. I look at an apple, and I say, I obviously want the vitamins out of this, because that's how I look at all food. I look at a pizza, I say, there's probably not many vitamins in here, but I'll figure out where these motherfuckers are. I look at an apple, and I say, this is going to be a lot of work. If I do an vitamin excavation looking for the vitamins in here, I want to get in, I want to get that vitamin pocket, and I want to get out. Where's that thing hiding? Where's that little bubble hiding?
In the seeds.
Well, shoot, Trav. That's about as deep in the apple as it gets, I think.
Apple has to protect itself. Now, here's the thing, Justin, to your point. It is not the seeds that contain the vitamin. It is the pockets that contain the seeds contains the vitamins.
Oh, so I jammed my tongue in there.
Yeah.
In one of those seed holes. And all of a sudden, I just got 10%
stronger. Oh, yeah. So strong.
It's possible. Yeah.
Think about it.
I would think that it would want to keep the nutrients close to its center for its apple babies, the seeds.
Yeah.
So you have to assume that the good stuff is towards the center, but not the center
in
itself,
the apple
right?
spine.
Is there something in the stem that we should be eating? I
wanted to get to the stem next, because there's something going on there, isn't there? Because nobody's eating that.
We'll talk about the stem, and then we'll talk about the apple butthole on the other side.
And let's talk about eating the apple's ass. Because this is all that people are talking about these days.
Is eating the apple's ass.
The apple ass challenge.
Well, specifically just eating ass. And I'm wondering if it's because They're really apples. Talking about getting it at the apple bottom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The one part we never think about, the apple bottom. Yes.
I've learned that the less you like a food, mm-hmm. the better it is for mm-hmm. you. Mm. And I really don't like eating the stem.
Yeah.
So I have to assume that motherfucker's just packed with vitamins and nutrients.
And, you know, protein.
I would like to go on record right now and say I would like to label from now on everyone in the world, because everyone in the world listens to this show.
Right.
From now on, I would like to refer to the apple asshole as the Applejack. And let's just establish that that's what an Applejack is.
Okay. So you want to call the butthole the Applejack.
Yeah.
And now is this going to be, I know the answer already, but are people going to start referring to their own buttholes as an Applejack?
Yeah. And I mean, that is how language evolves. It starts with the apples. It goes to the humans. That's how it's always been.
Yeah. Now, I feel like I need to step in here because it's contractually obligated. And if I don't, I will hear about it. One time I ate a banana funny. I don't literally know anything else to say about it, but if I didn't say that, then I would get tweets, how are you not talking about the banana you ate funny? And so I know.
One time Griffin ate a banana funny.
And I already mentioned mango, too. So
yeah, Justin, you got any stuff for your brand that you need to sort of dump in here or else?
Regarding sort of like brands and
fruit. Yeah, have you ever said anything funny about apples or fruit or eating ass or anything?
I mean, there was the one-man show about how much I like grapes. And if I remember correctly, it was called I Love Grapes because I wanted to get it out.
Well, if I remember, the working title was Grape Expectations.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that was a real chuckle. I really loved that one.
If I remember correctly, though, the full title was Grape Expectations, bracket, eating ass, in bracket.
Yeah.
Well, the director of that, Boz, he thought that I...
Lerman, though. Or just
Skaggs,
another bot.
Skaggs.
Yeah.
He thought that people would be confused about if it was completely about grapes or some about grapes and some about Charles Dickens. So he thought that it was just like,
Charles Dickens loved eating ass.
Yeah. He also tried to get me to make Leto shuffle the intro, outro, and sort of all throughout underneath very quiet. And I said, Boz, I love the tune. It may be too much of the Leto shuffle.
Now, is that a song that Boz Skaggs did?
Yeah, you got to tell us.
Man, it's a heat rock, Trav. You should look it up after we're done here. You've probably heard it before. You just didn't realize it was called that. Anyway, I need some advice. 2 years ago, my husband and I bought a house. Congratulations. The neighbors are very nice, but they have a hearse parked in the driveway. Initially, we didn't really mind the hearse. However, it has not started in 2 years, and it is attracting unwanted attention. Gawkers. Weirdos.
And some just other to be neighbors, clear, unwanted from you, question asker. Guaranteed right.
They may
not
be
from
dying
owner.
For it. Several other neighbors are trying to sell their houses and have complained about the hearse. Before you ask, yes,
there is a coffin in the back. Oh, shit.
Our neighbor loves this thing. He has it parked in the middle of his driveway. He is unable to park either his family's nice drivable new cars in the driveway because of this horseless death carriage. How do we ask him to move his beloved mortician mobile up the driveway? Frequent listeners.
That's their name. That's from Frequent Listeners.
That's from P.S. The plot thickens. He has started playing an organ very late at night, but only on Sundays. Oh, what the fuck?
No, here's the thing.
What's the thing?
Give me the thing, because I would love a thing to cling to right now.
This person is leaning into this like persona, right? And so any complaining you do or like this is off-putting, people are staring, that's what they want. You need to play up how kind of blah it is. Like, hearse in the driveway. Yeah, no, that all over town now. Like, it has to not be.
You also have to buy a hearse with a coffin in the back and park it.
You've got to make having a hearse seem like, you know, having like a funny-shaped mailbox. You know?
Everybody's got one.
Everyone's got one. Oh, hers. That's cute. Yeah, I was just reading in Vogue about how everyone's got a hers. You know what I mean? Something like, oh, this is so normal now.
Does everybody have a funny shaped mailbox? I thought it was just me. I got one that looks like an Applejack. And you got to kind of blast it right in there. Yeah. So other possibility, lazy vampire. I'll get to it. You got to get that fucking coffin in the house. We bought it along with the hearse to transport it. And I'm sleepy. I haven't got a wink in a long time. I need somewhere to post up.
So maybe that's when he's fighting with his vampire husband. And he has to like, yeah. You know what? I'm going to sleep in the car.
Yeah.
Fine.
Oh, fine.
Wait, hold on. I got to wait. Sun's setting. But here,
in 5 minutes, I'm going to storm right out of here.
Well, there's definitely not a body in there, right?
Definitely not.
No,
definitely not.
Legally
that
speaking,
that would be a crime.
Yeah,
it's a criminal crime, I guess.
Could you get one of those? You know how Domino's pizza delivery drivers have like the big sign on top? Could you get one of those and permanently affix it to the top of the hearse when he's not looking?
Of Domino's?
Get a Domino's pizza delivery sign and affix it to the top of the hearse.
Uh huh.
Permanently. Because that, I think, is going to mute. That is something anybody would like to have in their neighborhood, because that's hilarious.
So, wait. You're telling me...
Yeah.
We're probably going to be selling our house here in the next few months or so. You're telling me if I go over to my neighbor's house and permanently affix a Domino's pizza sort of beacon on top of their car...
Yep, it will drive
up the property value of every other house on the street, because everybody wants to live next to the Domino's pizza car, because then they think, boy, if I order Domino's, it'll be here in like 4 seconds.
No, I think they'll think they don't want to live next to a Domino's pizza delivery car. They want to live next to the pizza hearse, because yes, that's amazing.
That's how you get on Atlas Obscura right there.
Thank you, Travis. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, that's, you got to go see the pizza hearse.
So he didn't talk about Oregon.
The Oregon bit is something.
On Sundays.
Well, there's a very vital piece of information missing, which is what kind of music is he playing? Is it like Scary Family Opera music, or is he just doing like covers?
Maybe he's doing a soundtrack for his family watching the football game that evening.
They watched the silent, they got the silent reel, and he has
they
to play along.
They got a silent TV, and he plays along to sort of in company, and then every once in a while he'll write what he thinks the announcers are saying on a card and hold it up in front of the screen.
You did football bad. -10 feet.
I mean, you got to park them somewhere. I think we can all agree on that.
Hearse has got to go somewhere. You don't just build a hearse every time you got to do a funeral.
And it doesn't sound like it starts necessarily. Like, it's not working, it sounds like to me, right? It's like malfunctioned.
You brought up that he's got it parked in the middle of the driveway so the other cars can't get in the driveway. But I would not, I think, want to confront this reminder, this grim reminder, every time I had to hop in the ride to head to Target.
In the life whip.
I don't want to get in my living whip and look over into the death whip. Every time I had to go to get my waxing done.
And that's fair, because it also like, It would be, I actually think, weirder if you parked the cars there, just because contextually that would be weird, because then you're not setting the hearse apart as like, look at this oddity I have parked in my driveway. Then it just becomes like another car I have. And that's far weirder to me if it was like, there's my Subaru, there's my Toyota, and there's my death car.
What's the brand of the death car? Is it like a really, is it just like a long extended cab Hyundai Elantra? Like, it's got to have a brand, right?
That's fair. Is it like Ford?
Ford car. Built Ford Tough. It's the Ford boat to cross the River Styx.
Last ride you'll ever need. Ford.
That's a very good question.
Who's making these dang things?
Who's making these things? I don't want to know. Don't tweet at me about hearses.
Please don't let me know.
Please don't tweet about hearses. I do want to say this. I'm assuming there was not a picture attached to this, Travis.
There was not. No.
Can I ask people, if you're in a situation like this where it would be very easy to, please just go ahead and snap a pic. And, let us know if it could be publicly serviced or not. The answer is almost always probably no.
But go ahead and include that pick.
That's
just
fair.
So we can sort of get a better, like, just send a pick.
Because I feel differently. Easy. I feel differently about this if it's like a rusted out Hulk versus like a shining, beautiful, sleek, black, brand new looking
hearse.
Oh,
they take real good care of
right?
it.
Right?
If that's the case. Real. Ooh, Exhibit maybe. Has gotten his hands on this hearse.
Maybe your neighbor's planning to do like ghost tours at some point. They just haven't really gotten their shit together enough to figure out where the ghosts are, because that's one of the important things. You don't want to be telling a bunch of cockamamie tales about the locales of ghosts. You want to make sure you know where they are so it's a legit tour, because the critics will come and they'll tear you apart if it's ghost-free locations.
You know, yeah, and I mean, it's probably definitely a grave robber. Should we do a money zone?
Well, real quick, good. Can I tell a hearse-related Travis anecdote very quickly?
Oh, I love your Travis anecdotes.
And especially
you need to come
about
up with a
better
name for that segment.
Yeah.
In 10th grade, we were assigned a writing assignment that was like, what would you do after high school if you suddenly had a bunch of money? And we had to write like where the money would come from and what it would be. And I was super into the idea of monster hunting at the time. So that's what I said I would do, and I said I would get
this fucking report you wrote.
Yes, I would get a hearse, and I'd put a motorcycle in the back in case I need the motorcycle and the hearse. Well, I don't know.
Definitely not legal. Probably not legal.
No, definitely not legal. But in my head, I was picturing the motorcycle ejecting out the back of the hearse whenever I needed it.
The hearse immediately veering off the road and exploding because nobody's driving.
But now I have my motorcycle and everything's fine. And I read about like going to the Winchester house and finding out, no, in fact, it wasn't haunted, but there were vampires there. Anyways, so I turned this in. And the teacher was like, well, I can't fault the writing, but this was supposed to be like, in real life, what would you do? And I think I wrote that I would have gotten the money from my family dying in a very mysterious way. So I was also hunting that. And she was like,
cool. glad we got to be involved, Trav, there.
Yeah, glad we got in there in the margins, in the text crawl at the beginning of the film.
Well, Nessie survived the Scottish Terrier, and she traveled with me to help me hunt ghosts. And you know, in retrospect, I actually think that is what I would have done, had I, you know, not gone on to college and if my family had all died mysteriously and given me thousands of dollars.
Oh, sorry to disappoint you there, Trav. Sorry, I'm still
kicking. Sorry, bud.
Well,
sorry,
bud. You all really let me down.
That teacher, Eric Kripke, took your shit, made Supernatural, made like $1 billion.
Yeah, I don't want to
talk again, Trav.
I know.
They're always trying to get you. And Eric got
I
you good on
keep giving
this
away
one.
These movie ideas, TV show ideas.
Yeah.
Griffin mentioned Supernatural, so I've got to delete my Twitter account real quick. In the interim, let's go to the money zone. Well, I get home from a hard day at the office. And what do I see as I pull into my driveway? A large box.
Oh, a hearse.
I don't remember.
Coffin.
I don't remember ordering anything. I tear it open. Not the way you're supposed to open it. Just like start ripping into it. Because I'm so curious. You know what's in there? Beautiful bouquet from Pro Flowers.
Oh, okay.
Is this a real story or sort of a dream quest you're going
on? No, this is a true story that happened to me. And I thought, boy, somebody must love me very much. I felt so special. I did read the card, and it's like, we're excited about the ad campaign. It's like, well, that's sweet, but you all do have a lot of flowers, so it's not like you're hurting for them. But I did appreciate the gesture. There were some berries in there, too.
Ooh.
But if you want to make a big impression on somebody, why not try Pro Flowers? It's the perfect way. The Pro Flowers thought inside the box, so you can too. Your flowers are boxed fresh and delivered fast so that they will last surprisingly longer, 7 days at least. I got to say, the ones I got were about a week ago, if not more, and they're looking great. And you know the cool thing about Pro Flowers, when they show up, it's really easy and not annoying to get it like looking great. You just, there's a vase included. You tear off the plastic wrapping.
A vase skags.
A vase skags. You tear off the plastic wrapping, you slide it in, they got some flower food in there, throw some water in, and you're cooking. You got some great looking flowers. And right now our listeners can send a bouquet to their Valentine or anybody for any reason at all and save 20% off their purchase of $29 or more. To get your 20% off of a purchase of $29 or more, go to proflowers.com today and use the code MYBROTHER
in the special codes box at checkout. That's proflowers.com and the code MYBROTHER.
Can I tell y'all about Bowl and Branch? Listen.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't need permission. I'm just going to do it.
Okay, then you're not allowed to. Do it.
Oh, okay.
Because we legally, we have to pay good money.
We do. We took their money.
I do. Yeah. Listen, sincerely, I love Bowl and Branch. You know, for a long time, I would like go shopping for like towels or sheets, you know, bedding stuff, and think, how do I know? How do I know what's good and what's not and what's comfortable? And here's what I like.
How many U.S. presidents sleep on these sheets?
Right.
And I don't know.
Here's what I love about Bowl and Branch. They don't worry about like thread count or anything like that, because what if you just use shitty threads? Cool. Yeah, I put a lot of shitty threads in here. Awesome. But Bull and Branch instead focuses on really high quality material. So you don't have to worry about thread count. It's just super comfortable. They're like flannel sheets. It's one of the best decisions I've ever made. It is the most comfortable, like my favorite napping sheets, you know? And listen, luxury sheets can be super expensive in stores, like up to $1,000 for sheets. But Bowl and Branch sheets are far more affordable. Get a whole set for just a couple $100. I guarantee it's the most comfortable, like kind of nice to slip in bed feeling you'll ever have. And their towels are great. I'm a big fan.
How do I get these bad boys?
Well, you go to bowlandbranch.com today, and you'll get $50 off of your first set of sheets, plus free shipping in the U.S. when you use promo code MYBROTHER, all one word. That's $50 off, plus free U.S. shipping right now at bowlandbranch.com. It's B-O-L-L and branch.com, promo code MYBROTHER, all one word, bowlandbranch.com, promo code MYBROTHER.
Hey, I want to tell you all about Odd and Ends. Are you tired of fantasy that takes itself too seriously? How do you feel about conflict solved with compassion instead of punching? What's your favorite kind of city? If you answered yes, love them, and ones that float in the sky, have I got a series for you? Odd and Ends is the ongoing story of a retired hero seeking meaning in a simpler life set in a city populated by a hilarious and diverse cast of characters. Check it out at Odd and Ends, and that's O-D-D-N, the letter N, E-N-D-S, oddandends.com, where a new chapter is posted every dang Wednesday. Now, as we all know, the dang Wednesday follows the lunar cycle. No, it's every Wednesday. They just decided to put a cuss in here because I guess they thought it was our brand. And it makes me want to rethink some stuff, if I'm being honest. But anyway, check out oddandends.com and go read the weekly chapters they put up there.
I got a message. It's for Hannah, and it's from Kai. Happy early/belated birthday, Dr. Ebony Darkness, Dementia Raven Way, Esquire. I love and appreciate you so much and am forever grateful to you for you introducing me to the entire McElroy family of entertainment. I bet Aaron and Addie are pretty grateful too. Here's hoping 2018 is less of a dumpster fire than the previous 2 years. Much love, Sir Loss.
Yeah, I mean, we got the XFL this year, so far so good, I would say. Yeah.
Doesn't start till 2020, so I'm willing to not put that on the debt of 2018.
Yeah, but it's like we got 2 years of like Christmas Eve just waiting for that first kickoff or whatever decide to do. Could do a jump ball.
They're going to do a t-shirt cannon with footballs. And it won't happen. So that's
also,
the other thing.
It will not happen is the other thing.
It will not happen.
This is from Krista and Rob, and it's for Seb. We love you. You're an amazing friend, certified good boy, and the best half-orc prince we've had the honor of rolling with. To fix Griffin's unfortunate missed opportunity to say that salty, salty word on Taz, it's Sebastian Seaman, pronounced like that. You know.
Winky face.
Also, Sebastian Seaman will be on My Brother and Me, too. There, it's canned. Ah.
Oh, no.
No, now you said it. And what's My Brother and Me, too?
I don't know.
It's the next podcast we're going to do.
It's a spinoff podcast.
It's been announced by this other person. It's the sequel to My Brother and Me, and you're going to love it. We got like 8 more brothers.
We've been hiding. We've been holding out on you for the brothers.
Hi there, I'm film critic April Wolf and host of the Maximum Fun podcast, Switchblade Sisters. Do you love genre films? Do you love female filmmakers? Do you love discussions on craft? If your answer is yes, you'll love Switchblade Sisters. Every episode, I invite one female filmmaker on, and we talk in depth about their fave genre film and how it influenced their own work. So we're talking horror, action, sci-fi, fantasy, bizarro, and exploitation cinema. Mothers, lock up your sons, because the Switchblade Sisters are coming for you. Available at MaximumFun.org or wherever you find your podcasts.
I have a Yahoo here, and I wish we would have done it right after the last question. But it was sent in by Level 9000 Yadru Drew Drew Davenport. Thank you, Drew. It's from Yadru Answers user. Anonymous, which is good, because they're about to do a crime. But we'll call him Raj asks, if someone behaves like a vampire, and I think they might really be a vampire, then am I allowed to break into the house?
Whoa.
To see if it sleeps in a coffin. Legal protections around trespassers are for humans and not vampires, right? I also want to hold a mirror in front of it to see if it has... They keep using it. That seems...
Yeah, let's go with they.
Yeah, I also want to hold a mirror in front of it to see if they have a reflection and might only feel doing safe doing so whilst they are asleep.
Okay, let's... This
so what are we trying to ascertain here?
Is this if legal? Someone,
I think my neighbor's a vampire because they have a fucking hearse in the front yard with a coffin in it. Am I legally allowed to break into their house just to see if there's a coffin in there, that they, a second coffin that they sleep in when they're not fighting with their husband?
I can answer this for you right now, Griffin. Okay?
Okay, yeah.
Let's take the out of undead and just say your neighbor dies. Are you allowed to then break into their house? No. Still a crime.
Well, hold on.
Hold on. If you suspect they've died,
oh,
and you
shit.
Need to get in to save them,
yeah. Then well, you, save them with, save them with like some real late but clutch CPR.
If we're in a world where vampires exist, why can't I not do some sort of spell?
Yeah. Okay. So, first of all, Travis, was this a factor in your report that you did in high school? Which, God, please tell me you had to read that in front of the class. Please tell me other people.
No, our teacher was a very kind, understanding
very
person.
Discreet.
Yeah.
This is a high-risk, high-whatever the opposite of a reward is. Risk, I guess. It's a high-risk, high-risk sort of situation. Because you kick in the door, and either they're all there... And they're like, and they're eating like a, you know, they're eating a salad. And you're like, oh, well, that's not a vampire. Dracula never get caught dead eating lettuce. And that's a fun joke, even that in of itself, because he is technically dead. And then you would go to jail for probably a bit. And actually, I don't know. If you just kick in the door, is it still breaking and entering if you just sort of break but don't enter?
Well, here, okay, but there's another side of this, right? Would they press charges? Because if this person is really trying to live that vampire lifestyle, and you're like, sorry, I thought you were a vampire, wouldn't they be a little flattered? Wouldn't they be a little bit like, thank you very much, now please leave?
What if you just, there's easier ways to ascertain this. Griffin mentioned salad. Knock on the door. Ask to borrow a cup of lettuce.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have
by
that
weight,
in their house.
By weight.
Don't, by weight?
Well, you have to, because are you packing the lettuce in the cup? You know what I mean? Like,
but you can't give someone a cup of lettuce by weight. That doesn't make sense.
Well, I believe a cup weighs a pound.
A cup of lettuce weighs a pound?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
That's what Alton Brown would tell you.
Is that what Alton Brown, exactly. Person who knows what the fuck lettuce is, would tell me about the weight of lettuce?
Well, it's like when they say, you know, which weighs more, you know, a ton of bricks or a ton of lettuce. You know, they both weigh a ton.
Yeah, that's irrelevant to what I'm saying. Now, if you're making the argument that we in America should switch to using weight measurements for baking specifically, I would completely agree with you. It's really criminal that our recipes, by and large, are delivered to us in the imperfect system of sort of like volume measurements. I think that that's a very bad way to bake. And whenever possible, I prefer to bake by weight because it's much more precise. But a cup of lettuce does not weigh a pound.
If you packed it tight enough, I think you could.
Yeah, you could make it weigh a pound.
You think you could pack lettuce tight enough to make it weigh a pound in a cup?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so it... Vampires.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's a lot of different things you can do here. Obviously, ask them to come outside in the daylight. You can throw a garlic at them, but that in and of itself, I think, might be a different crime.
What if you just made them like a casserole? Like, yes. Hey, welcome to the neighborhood. What are you talking about? I've lived here for 10 years. Yes, sorry, but I never brought you this garlicky lasagna.
Well, that, you wouldn't say that, would you? You wouldn't say garlicky lasagna, would you say that, Trav?
Well, no.
You'd probably just give them the lasagna and then check in to see if they ate
it. And you put like a pound of garlic in there.
That assumes that anyone, human or non-human, living or undead, would eat a casserole baked by a stranger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because no, never. Not. Thank you so much for this charming gift. Dump it out.
So the other thing you can do is go over and say, like, I just finished this this magazine, this issue of Mother Jones. Do you want to read it? And if they say yes, not a vampire. Because vampire is staunch conservative. And and so that, I'm not saying that all of your like staunch conservative neighbors are vampires, but I'm saying probably about half of them are.
If you can break in and check their internet history and you see a lot of Drudge Report and InfoWars on there, you might be dealing with a vampire.
If you, might be a vampire.
Finish the thought. Finish it.
Now, if you suspect that your neighbor is a staunch Republican.
No, I want the accent. I want the accent. I want three, you might be a vampire if delivered in the style of Jeff.
If you're a fan of the XFL, you might be a vampire.
Yeah, you're definitely a vampire. They are catering to all night games, or else ticket sales are going to be a real problem there.
Two more?
If your hearse has a Papa John's light on top of it, you might be a vampire.
Thank you, Jeff Wolfworthy. One more, please.
Trav, I'm leaning on you on
this
one.
Give me a second.
Give me a second.
If you go to church every Sunday, even though it burns your skin off, you might be... Does that work? Is that a thing?
Well, that's something.
That's kind of a fun one. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I like that one because I could tell that joke at church, and I'm always looking for new jokes to tell at church.
I'm going
to
work on that one.
It's hard to come up with funny stuff when you can't, you know, cuss or pretty much anything.
And Griffin's church jokes are great because they're delivered during the sermon and sort of over it.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And outside of it on a megaphone.
When he feels like the sermon is in a lull, like he's reading a Bible verse or something, and like, yeah, we've all got the Bible, man. Thanks. Yeah, way to fill time.
The big pastor's up there and would say something, you know, like, you know, the disciple Paul in his letter to the, and then just from the audience, which is what you call the crowd at a church, you would just hear, if you don't finish your garlic lasagna, and then I get kicked out again, which you probably don't even realize. They'll do that to you. If you become a nuisance.
You didn't finish the joke, so I don't actually know the punchline now. You only started the joke. So what would be sort of the rest of it?
You might be a redneck.
Well, no, that's the other. That's Jeff Foxworthy, not Jeff Wolfworthy.
No, I know. But I would
Jeff
do this.
Wolfworthy, Justin, because it's like a werewolf thing, or just because wolf is like fox?
The wolf is like fox, and also Dracula's can change into wolves.
Uh-huh.
So that's kind of in the Children of the Night. Listen to the Children of the Night. What beautiful music they make.
If the beautiful music your Children of the Night make is all country western, you might be a vampire.
Now, that's good. Let's go more specific. If the beautiful music your Children of the Night make is all Hank Williams Sr. tunes, you might be a vampire.
Hey, now, what is a man? A miserable pile of secrets. But enough. Have at you, might be a
vampire. If your coffin has a big number 3 etched in the side, you might be a vampire.
How dare you?
Anyway.
How dare you, Justin?
There's probably more of these.
Yeah.
We could probably do a lot. But would anybody enjoy it or listen to it?
Has anyone enjoyed anything we've done so far? And I don't just mean in this episode. I mean, like,
you
up
mean
till
since
now
April,
in our lives.
Since April 10th, 2010. It's impossible to say.
How about another question?
I would love that. Here it comes. I'm currently attending cosmetology school, and I have been for several months now.
Astronauts.
Unfortunately, only today I've been told our school's graduation ceremony tradition. Each student on their graduation day gets to pick a song to come out to in front of everyone, and they are seated at the front of the class and complimented by your teachers and peers. It's actually quite lovely. My problem is this. I've been cheated out of 3 months to decide on a song.
3 months in, and they're just now telling me. I must choose a song to encapsulate my entire being, a song that will be the soundtrack of my arrival to the professional world, a song of glory, of the literal blood, sweat, and tears I've given to graduate. Brothers, how do I pick the one perfect song that will escort me into the cold embrace of adulthood, pump up the rest of my class for graduation, and will represent the essence of me? This is the most important decision of my life, also due to an incident that no one will fucking tell me about. No one is allowed to choose party rock anthem. Thank you. Okay, thank you for ruling that out. Bewildered in beauty school. And thank you also for not including any relevant details about yourself whatsoever.
That we could use.
Because that definitely does make it easier.
Well, let's work backwards. Let's memento this one. What happened with party rock anthem?
Right?
Does that one have foul lyrics in it that maybe it came on and all the cool professors were like, nice. But then there's a part where LMFAO is like, you know, talking about their Apple Jacks or something like that. And people are like, ugh, it's crude. This is a big school.
I'm currently reviewing the tune on Genius Lyrics, which is, it seems like they should have another domain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is one of my just weird facts that I know about sports. And it's not even really directly about sports. But there is a Cincinnati Reds player. I don't even know if he still plays, but he was the third baseman. His name was Scott Rowland. And, you know, baseball players get to pick their own walkout music when they walk up to take, you know, their at bat. And so Scott Rowland just let his daughter pick. And so, like, she always picked, like, Justin Bieber and, like, Taylor Swift and stuff. And that was just, like, his walkout music. And I just think that, like, that's the best. That's just really fun to me. And I just really enjoyed that fact. And I wanted to share it with everybody.
Yeah, it's not funny, but it's, you know, nice.
Yeah. You can tell that joke at church, you know?
I could definitely get in front of the crowd during the sermon and do that one.
It's kind of a bummer that I can never release an album because the best name for an album, Sorry for Party Rocking, is already taken.
It's already been done. And it's nice that they understand that they have made a mistake.
I think it would be better, though, if that album wasn't by LMFAO. It's just like, listen, I, Travis McElroy, on behalf of All Music, apologize for party rocking.
All right.
What's the song?
This is interesting because, like, you could pick a song that encapsulates you, or you could pick like, an aspirational song. Like, a song that I, like, Don't Stop Me Now, you know, is a song of, like, this is me. This is the me I want to be.
I mean, that's a good answer. That's a good answer. But it's not the best answer.
Okay.
I think, you get up there and you do Don't Stop Me Now. Just do that one. If we say nothing else, that is better. Just do that one, because that is a very good one. I think that's going to get the crowd very psyched. What's the best answer, though? What if you do the graduation song? You know, the bam, 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 the pomp and circumstance.
Oh, okay, I thought you meant as we go on.
Either one is fine. It's something to placate those fascist teachers up on, our teachers are a national treasure, a fascist up on stage. And then, what's that? A record scratch. Zit! And then what do they hear coming from the crowd? Party rock is in the house tonight. It's an a cappella version. You've worked with school to do the entire thing. So what the fuck are they going to do? Kick you out? No, you already got that piece of paper. Actually, wait till you get the piece of paper.
Yeah.
Because once that happens, that's a legally binding. You graduated and now
they can't take that from you.
No. You get that and then screw up. That's the record scratch noise, and that's how they make it. And then coming from the crowd is party rock in the house tonight. Everybody's going to have a good time.
And you kind of do, like, stop. Like, you're, like, wave, like, putting your hands, like, please, no, I'm not allowed. Mm-hmm. And they're like, we're sorry for party rocking. And then you, like, join in. And then the teachers are like, why did we ban this fucking tune?
Yeah.
Because we're into it.
And then you start dancing. Party rocking.
You're dancing.
And the small town priest is like, oh, you know what? This is actually fine.
Yeah, he takes off his vestments and, you know, he's wearing, like, you know, hot pants and a rave shirt. And he's like ready. He's ready to go. And then there could be a big food fight.
Oh, that would be so great. And oh, you're all just doing each other's hair and getting ready to blast off into space.
And then Red Foo and Sky Blue stand up and they're like, hiatus is over.
Yeah.
We're back. And they do a sequel to the song right there.
Still sorry for party rocking.
Yes. And this listen, one is can't apologize enough for party rocking.
And this one's going to be even more contrite. Can I tell you something? I'm looking at the lyrics of Party Rock Anthem. There's very little apology happening here.
Yeah, they're not even sorry for party rocking, really.
Yeah, so it seems like they're kind of celebrating it. And if they really wanted me to believe their bullshit apology, they would have a little something in here. That's
now,
just like,
there is
by
an
the
entire
way,
song called Sorry for Party Rocking, which I think might be better, more palatable in terms of apologies.
Okay, I'm looking at the lyrics of this one. They do actually say sorry for party rocking actually a lot in this one. So
yeah,
it's a different
like
song.
A lot of that.
I'm looking at it. They say it about 32 times, so that's a good song as far as I can tell. Just look at
it. Because it gets
lyrics.
A message across.
Yeah, that they did it bad. So that could work. Bangarang by Skrillex.
Bangarang, but you can't come out to the drop.
Yeah. Yeah, and that takes a little while.
Yeah, it takes a while to get
Bangarang
there.
Bangarang, really like you have to be done before the drop. So it's just like, oh, go, 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 go.
Is there a song that has the drop at the beginning of it? And that might be the antithesis of it, but I would love it if, you know, Skrillex was like, I got a new song, here it comes. And then it's like, well, thank you. I didn't have to wait at all. You just sort of hit me up front with that. And it's weird. Yeah. You didn't really build up a lot of anticipation. And then everything that came after that was actually pretty disappointing.
It's just down to
is there a
cool
song
off.
That has the drop at the very end of it that's just like bum 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 for like 4.5 minutes and it's like wow 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 and that's the end of the song and it's like oh man
I don't know if that would be satisfying either Griffin. I don't think EDM is sort of your future.
Shoot, what about a song that's all drops and so it opens up and it's like wow 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 hey I'm onto something because I felt that. Made me want to fucking graduate.
That's everybody's favorite part. You know, yeah. So you just have the drop.
Oops, all drops. The new LMFAO album.
They're back.
They're well, back, and it's more
LMFAO is back, but sadly, we have to depart. This is the end of the episode. Thank you so much for listening. Fun news, our TV show, if you can call something that was 6 episodes long a TV show, which I do. Our TV show is now available on iTunes and Google Play in the Americas, here in the U.S. Not the Americas, just this one. It was already in Canada, and I'm actually not by Mexico. But anyway, here in America, you can get it on iTunes and Google Play. The day it went up, because you all are so sweet, it went to number one on the iTunes charts for TV shows. So thank you for doing that. We should mention
That's fucking wild to me, by the way.
It's wild. You all are buck wild. We should mention, though, that we're not great with contracts, so we don't actually make any money when you buy it. So don't come to us like, oh, like, I helped align your pockets by buying this show I already watched. Because, like, we don't actually make anything off it, but we're super happy that people are buying it and enjoying it.
We got a nice deal. They gave us $30 each. They say, go make a TV show.
And one of those big oversized spirally lollipops, which was nice.
We did each get a very big lolly and $30, which looking back, maybe not the best one.
And I did use that $30 to buy more lollies.
Yeah.
We're actually going to, as soon as this is done, and it might be up when you're listening to this, will we put it in the feed, do you think? Does that make sense?
That'd probably be a good place for it.
Because everybody can watch it now pretty much. Yeah. Like, we're going to put it in the feed. We'll have a commentary track for the second episode of the show that you can watch alongside of it. I think we're going to record with our buddy J.D. Amato, who directed and ran our program. So that'll be fun. So you can listen to that along with the episode if you would like to do so. But you can get that on iTunes. It's also, if you would prefer, available for free in the U.S. on Verve, VRV.co. You can find it there for free.
I also want to say, so I mentioned on the last episode, I'm doing this secret society show, Cincinnati Underground Society show, Friday, March 30th at 8 p.m. here in Cincinnati. The ticket link is live now. You can go to bit.ly/cussmarch, C-U-S-S March. Tickets are $15, and I'm bringing in 5 guests, and any money that's left over after that, I'm going to take 50% of it and donate it to a local charity, and the other 50% is going to go to keep doing the show. So I'm not doing this to raise money or to make money for myself at all. I'm doing it to raise some money for an organization and then to kind of keep the show going. But if you would like to go ahead and get your tickets to that, you can do so at bit.ly/cussmarch.
I'm sure the NRA is just going to love getting that big check in the mail, Trav. It's
what an odd choice, I guess.
I'm not a vampire.
Good point. I also want to remind you
if
all...
If you do a comedy charity show to raise money for the NRA and you have fangs, you might just be a vampire.
So you can add anything. If you like the cereal cinnamon toast crunch and your fangs turn to a bat, you might be a vampire. We're making a graphic novel of The Adventure Zone. If you don't already know, you can find out more about it at theadventurezonecomic.com. There's a dog.
If you never watch The Adventure Zone...
Or listen to it. It is an audio program, primarily.
If you're going to listen to it, thank you. You can. We just put out a new trailer for it that we commissioned this week. Search for The Adventure Zone trailer on YouTube, and it'll pop up there. And if you've been wanting to give it a shot, you know, just try it. Try it out. I think you'll like it. It's a good show.
If you don't want to listen to all 69 nice episodes of the original arc, we're doing a new one right now called Amnesty. That's it's sort of a... Justin, go ahead. You deleted it already, right? Your Twitter?
Oh, yeah. I don't have much.
It's kind of Supernatural-esque. It's set in West Virginia, and we're having a lot of fun with it. Thanks to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. You can go to MaximumFun.org and check out all the great shows there. We also have all our shows and videos up at McElroyShows.com. And thanks to John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song, Is a Departure, off the album Putting the Days to Bed. Very, very, very good album.
So we're done, right?
Yeah. You want that final?
Give it to me.
Someone sent in by Merritt Palmer. Thank you, Merritt. It's another anonymous Yahoo user. I'm going to call him Purvis. Asks, is Squidward a Christian?
Oh, shit. My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy. I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been My Brother, and Me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Hi, I'm Biff.
And I'm Teresa.
And we host When Bad Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting.
Whether you are a parent or just know kids exist in the world, join us each week as we honestly share what it's like to be a parent. Turns out it isn't what we thought it would be. For example, stickers on car windows? It's no longer about what type of monster would let that happen, and more like realizing you are that monster.
So join us each week as we judge less, laugh more, and remind you that you are doing a great job.
Download One Bad Mother on MaximumFun.org or Apple Podcasts. And yes, there will be swears.